I have two announcements this morning. Key 73 videotape will be played in the library today at 1 p.m. and also tomorrow. Secondly, in tonight's chapel, we have Susan Morey speaking to us, but I was advised by one of my very good friends that y'all should be there, because tonight, revival's going to break out sometime between 7 and 7:30. And I mean to tell you that if you haven't been to our Wednesday evening chapel services, you've really missed something. The Spirit has been so alive there. And I believe that if revival is going to break out at Asbury Seminary, I believe it's going to take place on a Wednesday evening. You've missed something if you haven't been there. We have speaking this morning, according to the marquee out in front of Estes Chapel, Bruce Howard. Bruce is a good friend of mine, and this Bruce Howell that will be speaking in place of Bruce Howard will be sharing with us some of the ways that God has been working in his life in the recent past. And I know that I'm anxious to hear him this morning. And in the interest of starting on time, I'll turn it over to Bruce.
That reminds me of a recent time I was in a small church, and this layman was trying to introduce me, and he was speaking about a man that was going to speak, I think, a week later or perhaps the same evening. And his name was spelled P-O-L-O-K, I think it was. And he was having an awful time. He didn't know whether to pronounce that Polak or Polak or just what to do with it. And so after he finished with that, he said, but this next gentleman that I'm going to introduce, there's no problem with his name at all. So he said, let's all welcome Bruce Howell. So, you know, I get a charge out of this, these Southerners. So I got up there and I said, it's Bruce Howell. It's Bruce Howell. So, but I really appreciate that. I have a lot of good friends down here. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you some things that God has been doing in my life recently. In the recent past, as Bruce said, and even back beyond that, how God has blessed my life. And I really appreciate the fact also that Prof. Tremaine called me, I think it was last week or so, and he said, you know, these chapels are generally limited to 20 minutes, but because it's you and you're a student, you represent your peers and the rank and file, he said, you go ahead and go right on to 11 or after. And I want to thank you for that. I appreciate that. That's really not the truth. He said, 20 minutes, Bruce. Cut it off. That's it. So I'll do what I can. I have so many things on my heart this morning that I would love to share with you that I know I'm not going to get to all of them. And so please excuse me if we don't sing. We usually sing and get ourselves in the mood, you know, for listening and so on. But I want you to know that I'm just going to say, well, we won't have a chorus this morning, and we'll just try to enjoy God's presence without that anyway. And I just want to share some things with you. You know, recently I have noticed among our own student body what has seemed to be a spirit of depression. And I've asked myself if, you know, what is the cause, the root of some of our discouragement? And I suppose many of you would agree with me that it's directly related to our workload. And it's not limited to just students, but I know the faculty are involved in this because when I read that sheet and realized all the things that they do beyond their teaching duties, writing books, traveling, speaking, the pressures that come to them are just as great as they are come to students such as myself and you. And you know, I have been so, not really, I don't want to use the word depressed, but discouraged, let's say, because of the workload, that sometimes I get very confused and strange things have been happening in my home lately. Just last week, you know, I've been working on this very large research paper. I won't tell you which one it is. Let you figure that out for yourself. Spending many long hours. Sometimes I just get confused. I don't know whether it's morning or evening. I'm not straight in my mind. One night I went to bed about 1 o'clock, I think it was in the morning, and I wear contact lenses, you know, and I have to take them out. Those of you who wear them know the hard ones. You take them out and wash them and everything, get them all ready, and then you go to bed. So this one night,
I took my contact lenses out and I cleaned them very thoroughly, and then I put them back in. And I walked out of the bathroom and I said, "What are you doing? It's time for bed." And then I recognized that my wife was in bed, and I said, "Yes, it is. It's bedtime. It's not get up time. It's bedtime. Go to bedtime. Go to bed." So I took my contact lenses out and I went to bed. So this is the kind of thing that, you know, we've all been under a lot of stress, and at this time in the semester especially, you can't tell me, if you're anything like I am, and I don't think you're a whole lot different than I am, you feel a lot of pressures, and you just wonder sometimes how you're going to make it through to the end of the semester. Well, you'll make it. I know you will. And, you know, as I think about those times of discouragement in my own life, I remember the time, you know, I have this book that every time I get discouraged or get depressed at all or feel pressure or stress, I have this book that I always pick up and read. Let me recommend it to you. The author of it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been a real blessing for me to go to the Word of God and never be disappointed. And God has always met my need every time. And as I think of all the characters in the Bible, I know there are many who underwent a great deal of testing and trial and were depressed and discouraged to a great extent, my mind automatically goes to the Apostle Paul. And I think of many times, you know, what he wrote to the Corinthians, the 2 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, and told how he'd been beaten, how that he'd been stoned, how that he had been thrown in prison. By the way, remember, here's a good sermon title for you if you want to preach on the Philippian experience. Here's a good catchy title. Singing in the Slammer. That's original with me, so you can... Singing in the Slammer. You can preach on that sometime. And Paul underwent all kinds of hardships. And his enemies and his friends, it tells about his friends betraying him. What could be more discouraging than to have a person that you considered your friend to turn his back on you? I can't think of anything more that would be more discouraging. All the discouraging times that Paul underwent. And one stands out of my mind. And I was reading in the book of Acts, in the latter chapters of that book, and I came across a verse that I had never seen before, and words in that verse just leaped right out at me, and I said, "God, you've really blessed me again." And it's that time when, well, I don't have the time to go all through the whole thing. I'll be cutting myself out some other things I want to say. Let me just say that you remember that Paul came back to Jerusalem after his third missionary tour and reported all that God had done through him in accomplishing great things with the Gentiles, many conversions, churches being established. And he reported this to all the elders at the church in Jerusalem. Well, when Paul was there, you know, he came with a warning from his friends. They said, "Don't go to Jerusalem. You'll be in danger of your life," and so on. Well, he went anyway. We know the story. When Paul was in Jerusalem, he did get in serious trouble. Without going into all the details, we just know that Paul was eventually experienced a beating by the hand of some very fanatical Jews who wanted to do away with this man once and for all, and how that he was rescued by the Romans, the Roman garrison there, and how they were about to beat the truth out of him when he said, "No, I'm a Roman citizen," and they said, "Well, okay, we'll just put you in chains then, and then we'll get the truth." And then they sent him before the Sanhedrin and thought maybe they could find the truth, and Paul gave a witness and a testimony there and in Hebrew, and everything was okay for a while, and then he started talking about his mission to the Gentiles, and a riot broke out again, and this time they were determined to kill him, and he would have been killed again if the tribune intervened and took him back to the barracks. And you know all about that. I'm just briefly reviewing this for you so that you can see in your own minds the state that Paul must have been in that night after undergone a severe beating again. Here he is, incarcerated again, you know, and I just wonder if he wasn't very discouraged and very depressed. And I'm sure that he was. In fact, I know that he was, because in the 23rd chapter of Acts, in the 11th verse, there's something beautiful there. Something very beautiful. Here's Paul in this situation, and the Lord comes to him. Let me just read that for you. Just that simple verse Acts 23:11. The following night, the Lord stood by him. Has the Lord ever stood by you? Have you ever felt the Lord standing by you in times of stress and discouragement? I have. Many times in my life, God has stood by me. I like to think back to that time, when I was first married. And I think my wife and I had been married for 3 weeks, and she ended up in the hospital with something wrong with her blood. And I'll tell you, I was in a dither over that. I was really upset because I was head over heels in love. I'll tell you, I was really gone on this girl. And 3 weeks of marriage, and here she is in the hospital. It just killed me. I'll tell you, it just tore me up inside. I didn't know what to do. And but God was with us. Even in that early, I was a young Christian, and I didn't trust God the way I should have. And I had many doubts and about my faith and everything, but still God was with me. I knew that somehow she was going to be all right, but I didn't have the faith that I have today. I really believe that over the years God has increased my faith, and I don't get quite as shook, but I'm still very concerned when anything happens to my wife. Don't misunderstand me. I still get very upset, but I'm just saying that this was a time in my life when something happened. I didn't understand why, because I'd been told that when you become a Christian and ask God to direct your family life, you'd be surprised how smooth everything will go. And so we had established a Christian home just as a couple. We had started out with devotions. We'd done everything you're supposed to do, and then hard times come. Couldn't understand that. Well, then about 3 weeks later, 3 or 4 weeks after this, after she got out of the hospital, I began to have these spells, fainting spells. And then the doctor would come, and he would examine me and so on. That's when the doctor still came to your home. So you know how long ago this was. And so he said something like, it's the strain of marriage, the change. I thought, what in the world is he talking about? That really wasn't it at all. He coupled that with some other things that I was doing. He said it's just a strain and pressure and everything. Well, as it turned out, it wasn't that at all. It was an affliction which I carry to this very day, which requires medication. A time that I didn't understand why God would allow this to enter my life. And I still don't understand why today, but I'm trusting God that His purposes are perfect in my life. So I don't worry about it. I've committed that whole thing to Him. He's got it, and it's in His hands. But that was a very time of great stress and confusion, and I really didn't know why this was happening to me. But God was with me through it all. And I'm just pointing these times out of my life because we all have to go back in our minds, don't we, to remember these times. And I know what I'm saying this morning isn't anything revolutionary. It isn't anything new. I know that, but I know that we learn by repetition, and I know that we need to recall some of the things that God has done for us in the past, and it'll encourage us through these days, honestly. Some of the things I look at in my past life, they're really nothing compared to what is happening to me today, and the stresses and strains and pressures of life that I feel today are really nothing. That's what I meant to say, in comparison with some of the things that I've gone through and seen others go through victoriously. So I praise God that He stood by me. He really has. I wrote some things down here. I have a couple notes because I want to make sure that I don't forget what I wanted to say and get the right thing. I remember not too long ago reading this article by this man who had studied stress and pressures and change. And he had, maybe you read about it too, it was in the U.S. World of News back about a year ago, and he had divided up into units of stress, categories in our lives that occur, you know, and he had attributed so many units of stress to a certain change, and he said that basically people break down physically and mentally due to the fact that they undergo such terrific changes, and they may not be aware of it, but they're undergoing great stress, and sometimes if they accumulate enough units, they crack under this. Well, I thought that was a very interesting theory. I think there's a lot to it, and so I began to investigate this a little more, and I noticed that he had, let me give you some examples. He had 100 units if you had someone die close to your wife or your husband. He had 73 units if you were divorced, 65 if you had been separated, 63 if you're in a jail term, 63 if you had someone close to you die, change in your financial status, 38, change to different kind of works, 36, change in work responsibilities, beginning of new change in school, 20 points, and so on. Every change that comes about in your life. Well, he said, he postulates here that if you have 0 to 150 points within 1 year's time, no problem. If you have 150 to 199, one chance in three of becoming ill, physically or mentally. 200 to 299, one out of two. If you have 300 units or over, chances are you will be ill. Four out of five. In fact, he went on further to say that he just couldn't see how a person could undergo so much stress and pressure due to change and survive mentally. And so I thought, I remember a year in my life when I underwent such change and stress, I just think I'm going to figure out how many points I had. And so I began to, some of these things, of course, didn't enter into my life, but there were some very close people in my family that died within this 1 year period, and I had, it was a time when I had changed jobs, it was, left my work really, a time when I started school, a time when, oh, I just had so many, so I totaled them. You know what the total was? It was 450 points. So I thought, well, I didn't crack under it. So no, I just said, Lord Jesus, I thank you again, because even when we're not aware of it, God is taking care of us. The psalmist tells us that even before you wake in the morning, God is thinking about you. While you're sleeping at night, his thoughts are directed towards you. So that when you awake in the morning, you can be assured that God has been thinking of you, and he thinks of you constantly. Isn't that a blessed thought? I'll tell you, it blesses my heart. And I said, God, I want to thank you again, because I'm sure that if I didn't have you in my life, that I would have cracked under that. I'm confident of it. I would have cracked. I had so many things to happen. My wife and I together, of course, share these experiences. So we had just unbelievable things. If I were to enumerate them this morning, you wouldn't even believe me. You'd think I was making it up. But nevertheless, God saw us through this time. Isn't he a blessed God? How I love him this morning and praise him for the way he has been working miracles in my life. But one of the ways that God encourages us is through others, isn't it? I mean, how else does God encourage a person if he doesn't do it through another person? Or persons. This is the way it's been true of me. Think back in your mind now to those individuals in your life that have said a word just at the right time, that have smiled just when you needed a smile. And I'll tell you something. This is digressing a little bit, but I have a license plate on the front of my car. It says, "Smile, God loves you." Because this is basically, I'm a smiling person, and there are times that I don't smile, though. You know, honestly, days I don't feel like smiling. And I thought to myself the other day, I've got to take that license plate off the front and put it on the back. People won't see my face. You know, can you imagine driving down the, street and noticing a man's sign there said, "Smile, God loves you," and look at the driver, he's driving like this, or you've got to be careful, or they put you on the spot. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but I'm basically a smiling person, and I like other people that smile at me and encourages me, just a smile or a friendly word. I remember when I, you must understand that there were 15 years between the time, I'm almost done, Prof, 15 years between the time that I graduated from high school and felt a call in ministry and went to college, 15 years without going to school. So I was a little nervous, a little uptight. And when I was in my first year of college, I don't know how this man knew it, but because he was really a stranger to me, but I just didn't know, you know, if I could cut the mustard, so to speak. I didn't know if I could make it. I think I was there on probation as it was. I'm not sure about that, but I have a feeling I was. It was out of the kindness of their heart that they let me come. But there I was, you know, and this man stopped me in the hall one day, and he said, "Bruce, I just want to tell you what a blessing it is to have you here. It's really a privilege to have you here on campus." Oh, man, I'll tell you, you don't know what that did for me. You could never know if I were to tell, even as I tell you this morning, you cannot know how that boosted me up. I said, wow, you know, I don't even hardly know the man, one of my professors, and he thinks that of me? That's great. So I thought, well, hang in there, Bruce. You know, that's great. And by the way, let me just say that there are many of you that have encouraged me since I've been here. Many of you students, without realizing it. You just don't know. I mean, you don't know what effect you have on other people's lives. You can have one, well, to look at the negative side, you can discourage a person by your attitude and the way you, you know, act, and you can encourage someone. And I've been encouraged by many of you students and teachers. I want you to know that. And the other thing I wanted to point out, just before I finish here, was the reception that I received when I came to Wilmore. Now, I know a lot of us have a tendency to be down on Wilmore, but this boy is not. And I'll tell you why. I think it's a great place to live. When I came here last July, was it last? Well, a year ago, this last July, we came into town. We had one of these seminary apartments all ready for us, and somehow there was a mix-up. We thought that there were going to be beds waiting for us, and when we got here, there were no beds. We found out the seminary doesn't give you beds. You bring your own bed. Well, so we didn't have a stick of furniture, and our furniture was way behind. We didn't know when it was going to come, and here we came to Wilmore. No furniture, nothing to sleep on, nothing to eat on, just nothing. No money to go out to a motel or anything. And so that same afternoon, we were sitting there, and I was about ready to just get in the car and go back where we came from. This is ridiculous, I said. I'm very discouraged. And these people started coming from the other houses in our neighborhood where we live here in Wilmore, and they just came over. I've never seen such a thing. They just came up to us, and they said, we are so-and-sos. We live across the street. We live up the road. And we noticed you just came in. Is there anything we can do for you? I mean, we noticed that you don't have any furniture. Do you need a bed? And, well, frankly, we need a bed, yeah. So they went and they got beds for us. They brought folding cots, folding beds. Mrs. Coleman brought my wife some silverware so we would have something to eat with. Somebody brought us a table. So we had to pick one of these folding metal tables. And people just came from all over the neighborhood. And I've never seen anything like it. And just provided the things that we needed until our furniture got there, which was some time later. But we just praise God for people and how they encouraged us. And just that act of kindness there, we were very discouraged. We said, well, you know, God is confirming once again the fact that we are supposed to be here. And this may not be the holy city, but it's got a lot of real nice people in it, I'll tell you that. So I praise the Lord for those who have encouraged me. And I encourage you this morning, when the outlook is bad, try the uplook. And just let me leave you with these words from 2 Corinthians. And we'll close with this and I'll have a word of prayer, okay? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but never in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Thank the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we just rejoice in what you have done in our lives, and forgive us, Father, for not trusting you fully as we should. And we pray that for those who may feel a little discouraged or depressed this morning, that somehow they will see Jesus standing there by them. Thank you, Lord, for the many times in our lives when you have come and stood and encouraged us and told us, it's all right, go on. Lord, we wouldn't ask for anything more. We don't care about the promises of blessing all the time. We don't care if you always promise to give us those things that we need. But we don't even care about the fact that we may not always be comforted. All we care about, Lord, is the fact that you are standing by us. And that's enough for us. Oh, that blesses our hearts. We're full of love because you have shown your love toward us. Help us to become encouragers to others. Thank you for this time of sharing together. I ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. So be it.
That concludes the program for this morning.